There are many decisions and questions that we make and resolve that have very little risk. If you have two favorite restaurants and it's Monday night and that's your night to go out, and you're trying to decide which one to go, but if both are your favorite, is there really a risk? The answer is no. But if there's a new restaurant in town and you've never been there and you heard mixed reviews and you're trying to decide go to your favorite or something you've never done, now there's a risk, isn't there? For any of us, we have all kinds of fears, and placing ourselves at risk is sometimes one of them. And depends upon how we feel equipped and strengthened. Some things may be a risk for one person and a piece of cake for another. I don't like heights. How many of you don't like heights? There's several of you. Yeah. So for me to climb up on this step stool, I feel there's a risk because I don't like heights. But see, there was a reason I placed it next to the pulpit. Because when I have something to hold on to, it feels like the risk is reduced. Today is Pentecost. Do you think there's any risk for these guys? What was brand new to them? Something they had never done before. I bet you they had heard wind before, right? I am going to get down. They had heard wind before. But this is the first time that the rush of the mighty wind had come in such a way that the sound was extraordinary. None of them had tongues of fire on their head before. That was a new thing. If it was you and I, we would have been looking at each other saying, "Where's the extinguisher?" And to speak in a language that you never studied instantly. I mean, we've all maybe wished we could speak a language, but we recognize the process to get there. Either we grew up speaking two languages, or we went to school, or took a class, or took a home study course, or an online course, but we recognized the process. But instantly, they spoke a language, a known language. And if that wasn't risk enough, something totally new, it was who they were talking to. You heard the list that Pastor Al read. It's there in the text. These were people from all over. They were in the city. These are people whose sometimes language differences create communication issues and fights and arguments and all the kinds of trouble that we get into in a multicultural situation. There were Romans in the neighborhood. There were Jews in the neighborhood. And here, they were going to be speaking in languages known to the listeners, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have to remember, what did they do with Jesus not too long ago? It changed from Hosanna to the Son of David, right? To what? Crucify. So as I think about my own fears about climbing up on a step stool, but I had a pulpit to hold on to, how willing would I be to stand in front of people who only 50 days ago shouted, "Crucify him," and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. But here's the thing. Our text resolves the question of the risk. Did you catch that when it was read? God's word answers our fears. It is his loving arms embracing his servants, his people, holding on to them. It was a new way. Jesus told them that he would do this, that he would send the Comforter. And when it comes to risk, boy, that's what you and I need. And they needed it too, wasn't it? A Comforter. For imagine the step stool is out here for me, and I step up on it. I'm going to have Pastor Al be my comforter because he's going to be standing behind me holding onto me. You know, and it is so nice to have a comforter, right? Haven't you had anybody steady you? Hold the ladder, please. And how much comfort that is. Well, the Holy Spirit came that day to comfort them and empower them for mission and ministry, and to recognize that by his grace and his presence and his working, that the issues of the risk are resolved. Now, they could have been arrested. That could have been a response. They could have been beaten up. That could have been a response. They could have been, you know, had bottles and stones and rocks and just stuff, tomatoes even, thrown at them. That could have been the response. But even then, the Comforter reminds us of all the things that the Word of God teaches and all that Christ had shared with them. Jesus had said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" That Comforter reminds you that, yeah, those things might hurt, but your soul is safe in the hands of God. You have the gift of eternal life, and nothing will separate you from the love of God. There's no risk. Persecution might have been a response, and in the early Christian church, there was a persecution. But the Comforter is there too, again, reminding us that if we die, yet we shall live. Paul even talks about the choice of staying and doing mission and ministry or going to heaven and being with the Lord. And he recognized both choices were okay with him. It was ever what the Lord planned. But he was comforted by the grace of God to stay, and he would be in the comfort of God's presence if he went. This text is about what's the risk. When we start to fear man more than we fear God, we don't see the Comforter. We only see the risk. When we start to desire the things of this world, when we start looking at the options, then we see the risk. Well, I'll lose this. Think about all the human kinds of things that we think about. When it's a choice between doing what God asks us to do and doing what our flesh or what others want us to do. Sleep in on Sunday morning. If I stay home and sleep, I'll feel rested, restored, renewed. We believe this stuff for the world. I think that's part of the deception of our sinful nature and the world. I think the risk is that we buy into the stupidity and the foolishness and the lies and the deceptions. But then again, the Holy Spirit has come to us through the water and the word when we were baptized. He was placed in us. Through the scriptures, he's daily speaking to us. And he's reminding us that when the lies and the deceptions and all the foolishness is revealed, we recognize that's awful. And remaining in faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is like being embraced when you're standing on a step stool. And you feel comforted, and you feel encouraged, and you have courage to do what you need to do. So what did the believers in the days of chapter 2, what did they do that was different? By this comforter, it tells us that they did these things. And you look at the text and you can see them there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They got together for fellowship. They worshiped and they reached out to others. What was the risk when there was so much to gain? They stayed in the Word. Sure, they gave up time for doing other things, but they were in the Scriptures. And what they gained was better than what they would have gained if they made any other choice. They were in fellowship with one another. Yeah, they could have been off by themselves fishing. They could have, you know, kind of veg out at a cabin all to themselves. They could have stayed home with the remote control. You know, all kinds of activities in that sense. But instead, because they are parts of the body of Christ with many members and one head, they got together and they had purpose and they had mission and they had service. And they worshiped. It gave them the opportunity to let it out. You ever been happy and tried to swallow it? Not let anybody know? You ever had the giggles and tried to stop? It feels so good to let it out. You know, if you're watching a sporting event and your player or your team does something and they've scored or whatever it is, you know, it's like you yell, you let it out, you're excited. Can you imagine watching something where it says no noise? There you are trying to keep it in. Or somebody does something funny and you know you aren't supposed to laugh, but you want to laugh. It's hard. This is what our faith does in a world that doesn't want to hear it, in a world that doesn't want to see it, in a world that doesn't want to know Him. We are in a world that tries to squash and silence and just smash our faith. But we have the opportunity to worship, to come together as God's people, and to celebrate this new life in Christ. And then they shared it with others. Now on this day, it tells us thousands came to faith. Yeah, what a day. I've never had one sermon that did that. That's okay. But you recognize that by speaking the gospel, people went from dead in sin to alive in Christ. From lost eternally to now saved and having an eternal home. People went from in despair and depression and guilt and shame to renewed, restored, uplifted, alive, and free. But again, the question to the church today is, what's the risk? Are we afraid to tell the gospel? Are we finding ourselves attracted to other things and picturing even coming to worship is a greater risk than staying home? Are we afraid of the response of the world around us so that we won't speak of Jesus, we won't give Jesus the credit? Are we afraid it'll start an argument or they won't talk to us? They won't like us. They won't include us. Again, the Comforter comes. And He reminds us about God's embrace and all that that gives. And all the treasure that it unlocks for us. He reminds us of the blessings of His presence, the strengthening of our faith, the resolve of our focus and our purpose that God has a plan for us. And that we are here to live and glorify His name. That we are more afraid of not doing what God wants us to do than doing what man wants us not to do. The first commandment is we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And when we start to fear people, and when we start to have all kinds of risk assessment, and that hinders our joy, our worship, our being in the Word, our fellowship, then we have idols in our heart. Because when we fear, love, and trust in something else, that's exactly what happens. Our idols can be our anger. I'm not going to church, I'm mad at the pastor. You know. And it keeps us from God. Or I don't like so-and-so who sat next to me last week. Or I don't like the hymn that Alan Bartel picked out. Sorry, Al. You know. Yeah. But you understand. We put things more before God when we start looking at what's the risk, and we've forgotten the answer on Pentecost, that in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the risk has been neutralized. For me to put the step stool here, right in front of this edge, and to stand up, I would feel there's a significant risk. But when I have the helper, this wooden object, you know, even with my fear of heights, this isn't so bad. You have the comforter. Let the fears that we feel, the frustrations that we hold on to, and all the doubts that we embrace, let them be gone. Because on this day that we celebrate in history is the day that Jesus sent his Spirit. And the good news is, his Spirit still remains. His Spirit is in you. He has a hold of you. And with him, there's no risk. Amen.